Okay. Beis Chofa mit Aleph, 9 lines to the end of the page. 28:3, first column. Okay. The Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan, this is a new Gemara, really. The Gemara spoke about the certification of documents and all that, yeah? So now the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabbanan. Keitiv Adam Eidus Al Ashtar. A person can write his testimony on a document. And based on that document, he could testify orally even many, many years later. So the Gemara says, Amr Ravuna. Ravuna says, nope. That's only if he remembers the testimony on his own without the paper. In other words, just the paper basically reminds him of some details. But he has to remember the case, because again, remember we learned that witnesses have to be oral and not written. Okay? It has to be oral testimony, not written testimony. So therefore, if a person wrote down their testimony to remember it, many years later they can testify based on what they wrote, but that's only when they remember the actual case by itself. Rabbi Yechonin Amar, Af al pi shein zecher me'at, you've arrived? Af al pi shein zecher me'atzmi, even if he doesn't remember by itself, on his own, the paper reminds him, it's also good. Okay? In other words, Rabbi Yechonin says, it's still considered oral testimony, even if he, in other words like this, once the paper reminds him, so all the paper did was to remind him, then when he verbalizes his testimony, then it's considered oral. And he says, and Rashi explains, by the way, that what happens, here. Rashi says, if he doesn't remember at all the case, and he reads the notes, and it looks like, you know, then he's not allowed to testify on it at all. So now Rav Huna says like this, you need to remember the testimony, the paper can only help you in the details of the testimony. Rav Yechonin says, even if you don't remember by yourself, you read the notes, but then you remember the story from the notes is also good. But even Rashi, this Rashi says, that even according to Rabbi Yechonin, if the guy doesn't remember it at all he remembers is he sees the paper, and he doesn't remember anything about the case, he cannot testify on it. Because then it's not oral testimony, it's considered as if it's written testimony.
This is the witness who signed?
No, there's a witness, he didn't sign as a witness. He signed on his own piece of paper to remind himself that he was a witness in this case.
And Machloket is with him, if he reminds him or not, just looking at it?
No, Rav Huna says it has only good, there's three parts over here. Rav Huna holds it's only good if the guy remembered on his own, the testimony. That maybe the paper helps him with details in the test, but he remembers the case. This guy lent the guy money and I was there, and you know, and maybe he didn't remember the amount. So the paper tells him the amount or the date. But he remembers the story. Rabbi Yechonin says, no, even if you don't remember the story, but once you read it,
it reminds you.
It reminds you completely of the story, it's also good. But then Rashi adds, according to Rabbi Yechonin, if even with the paper you don't remember the story, then it's taka no good. Now, Amr Rabbi said like this, Shema mina Rabbi Yechonin, based on Rabbi Yechonin's ruling, it comes out like this, Hani beitreti yada sedusa, two people that were witnesses about a certain issue. Uman shechab mina, one of them forgot it, mitka rechad lechavi, one could remind a friend. Because Rabbi Yechonin says, even if the paper reminds you of the story, it's good, right? So according to Rabbi Yechonin, what's the difference of paper or somebody else? So in other words, let's say me and him testified, we saw a loan or a business deal, whatever, took place. Yeah? And then, I forgot about it. And then he comes to me and says, don't you remember with, I said, oh yeah, right. So then, I would be allowed to testify according to Rabbi Yechonin. According to Rav Huna, not. Because Rav Huna said, you have to remember the story by yourself. But according to Rabbi Yechonin, that I could get reminded from my paper, my notes, right? Then even Rabbi Robert also says that If that's the case, even if your second witness reminds you, it would also be good. But now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Iboy lohum, atzmei mai. What happens? Not the witness reminds you. The litigant reminds you. I testify you lent the money. So you come to you and say, don't you remember the case? So now the question is that reliable enough for me to remember the case? Yeah. The guy that owes the money is not going to remind them. Right? Why should he remind the witness? The guy that's owed the money says to the witness, don't you remember you were there? Don't you remember?
That I owe them money?
Yeah. No, that he owes me money.
That he owes
us. Right.
Money. Yeah. Because then his voice, the other one is voice.
The question is, are we afraid the litigant will exaggerate the details and that will cause the person to not testify properly? See, one witness with the other is not going to exaggerate the story. If me and him are witnesses, so he'll remind me, so you're not going to exaggerate the case. But if the litigant is reminding me, he said, don't you remember I lent him $1,000? Maybe it was only $500. He said, so then that's the Gemara's question if it's good or not. But, okay, I just want to, at the bottom he goes through some very interesting thing. Of this Gemara, I want to spend some time because it's very basic. In testimony of this. Okay. Rabbi Yechanan said, okay, Rav Huna said you have to remember by yourself. Rabbi Yechanan says, even if the paper reminds you, it's good. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, it's still considered oral testimony. What happens, Rashi says, like we said, if he forgot it completely, and even when he reads the paper, it still doesn't ring a bell, it's still no good. Okay. Now, both, according to this Gemara, basically, the written testimony of the witness is not good. The written, right? Because if the guy wrote the testimony, not in the document. We're not talking about document. He wrote it for himself. Personal note. He wrote, I testified that on this and this day, Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Okay, that's what he was, right? He testified. And he writes it on the paper. So the Gemara is discussing, can I later come along and testify based on my notes? It's not the document that was signed. I took personal notes. Can I sign on it?
That's the case you're talking about?
Yeah, what do you think the case was?
I thought it was on the document.
No, we'll soon see. Okay, now. So the question, but Rav Huna and Rav Yechon would both agree that to send this written testimony into court wouldn't be good. Because like we said, the Torah says, I'll pi, this fundamental thing, I'll pi shnayim edim yokum dovar, and the mouth of witnesses. And the Gemara learns, it has to mean, mi pi hem, v'loi mi pi ksavim. According to Halacha, and we'll soon see the various different opinions, which is very interesting, a guy cannot send his testimony to court. In Jewish law, it's not going to be held up. It might be used as an additional thing. And nowadays might be, we're going to see the various opinions. But in Torah law, okay, I cannot send my testimony to Beis Din and it will be accepted. Okay? That's what Rav Huna and Rav Yechon are saying. The note can remind you, my note that I wrote to for myself. That can remind me, so then it's oral testimony. But the written testimony itself, clearly from the Gemara seemingly, is not valid. So all the Rishonim ask, 1 minute. If they sign a document, we said before in the Gemara, Eidem Achsum Mashtar, Nasa Kamisha Nechakuru Eidusim Bebezdin. It's like they orally said this testimony in Bezdin. So what are we saying over here in the Gemara? That written testimony is no good, only if it reminds your brain, and then you say it orally, but written itself is not good enough, right? But that's not, we know by documents it's not like that. You write a document, it's good. Not only that, if a witness testifies he saw a written document, it's also good. So what's going on over here? Okay. Now, So there's a bunch of answers over here which is very interesting. Number one, there are opinions in the Rishonim, and there's also a fundamental din. They say, when does the Torah say it can't be written only oral? If somebody can't do it orally, only written. If a person can't talk, and he writes it on paper, somebody shame him hold, that's when it's no good. But if a guy is able to speak, and instead of speaking, he writes it, that's good.
Why isn't that no good the
other way? Should
be. Because the Torah said it has to be on the mouth of a testimony. Now, there's a din. Whoever is fit for something, k'roroi labila, if it's fit to be mixed, the fact he didn't mix it doesn't matter. This is how somebody shame him learned. This, that the Torah says, al pi shenai reidim, is not to exclude written testimony, it's to exclude testimony of somebody who can't speak and only does it in writing.
Can't speak, can't hear either, most likely.
No, you have people that can't speak. I know a lot of people that talk and can't hear. When you tell them to be quiet, they keep talking, they don't hear.
So a person who's deaf mute wants to lend money, he has other people sign documents for him?
Yeah. Unless if he signs it himself, that's also good, but it's even better than witnesses.
Why is that?
If I write an IOU, if I write an IOU $1,000, and they sign my name, yeah?
No, I know, I'm saying, why is he accepted to write by himself, someone else should write for him?
No, I'm saying he could write by himself.
The
yeah, he could write by himself. Now, he says like this, to be a valid document, the instrument must be signed on the date transaction took place. Okay, that's the way a document is made. Anything else in mere writing is not acceptable in court. So Rashi says like this, if the signature was done on the day of the loan, then it's good. If the signature was done after the loan, then it's no good. Because it's written testimony. Tosfos says, a document is valid only when two witnesses sign on it. And no sign by a single witness. Okay. But Lepero, he says like this. The Rambam, so Lepero, somebody showing him, like the Ramonos, they write, the din that you can't have written testimony is only for somebody who cannot write, cannot speak. But somebody who could speak, then the law doesn't apply. Okay? The Rambam has a whole different approach to this. And the Rambam's sheet is what we always discuss. The Rambam writes that biblically it's taka no good, a document. The Rambam writes that when witnesses sign a document, biblically, a loan document, yeah? It's taka no good.
Why?
Because the Torah has to be verbal, oral, not written. The Chachamim said, by monetary issues, we're going to make it good. Why? Because if you can't have witnesses signing a document, nobody's going to want to lend money. I'm going to lend money to you. In front of two witnesses will leave town. They'll die. And I'm stuck. So the Chachamim said that even though biblically, testimony which is written is not valid, nevertheless, the Chachamim, by monetary issues, and only by monetary, which is, explaining there's a lot of differences over here in Halacha. By monetary issues, Rambam says, the Chachamim came along and said, it's okay. But you're right, biblically, it's not good. But there are many dinim we find, I'll give you an example. Truthful, this year, Shemitah, right? Shemitah undoes the debts. Right? So people stop lending money. So Chacham said, listen, we need to do things for the world. We're going to make a legal loophole that you can make a prusbul, right? And give over the debts to the courts, and then they're collectible. So the Chacham, for many times, the Chacham did things that, oh, and by the way, there's only monetary laws. Because Beis Din has an authority in money. They can make things hefker, Beis Din, they can make it hefker. They can do whatever they want. So by monetary issues, the Chachamim said, we allow written testimony.
Other other than Malter, we wrote get or kiddushin or.
Yeah. Yeah, or murder. A murder case. Two witnesses see the way Reuven killed Shimon. Yeah? But they ran, they had to leave town, the plane was leaving, they had to leave. Can they send a testimony to court in writing that we saw Reuven kill Shimon? It's not going to be good. Right? Because biblically it's no good. But the interesting thing is, according to the other opinion we just said, that written is only not good if the person can't speak. But if it could speak, written testimony is good. Right? Then even in a murder case it would be good. It's, you understand the pros and the cons over here. One reason why today written testimony is good, one opinion says, written testimony is only not good if the guy can't speak. But if he could speak, written testimony is also good. Okay? Because he could go. If he could speak, so the written testimony is good. The Rambam, so based on that, any testimony of writing would be good if the guys could speak. Monetary, capital punishment, whatever. Right? But the Rambam holds, no, it's only good written testimony by monetary things because the rabbis were lenient. By things that are not monetary, even if they could speak, it's not a kosher testimony.
Is there any nafkamina now, right? If he's writing on Shitar, is midorait or midorabanan?
No, not by a star.
Yeah?
No, it's not a problem. It would be good.
If a guy is mute and he can't speak, so then he can write it in the fight.
No, then he can't.
Then he can't. Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he cannot protest to it?
Others maintain, I'm going to read it in a second, that written testimony is excluded only if the witnesses are unable to testify orally, is mute, does not recall the incident. But a witness who can speak and recalls that which he wrote down is allowed to send his testimony into court in writing. No, they're teaching what the Pasuk says. When the Torah says it has to be oral and not written, it's only excluding if you taki cannot speak. But if you could speak, then you could, it's good.
Shiva gave the witness once to exclude himself from the case. He says, all I remember, I don't remember anything.
Yeah, but the Torah says, Im lo yagid v'nosa v'ne, the Torah says, if you know testimony and you're withholding it, it's a negative commandment.
Is there an interference in the right of violence also?
What do you mean?
If somebody witnesses something wrong is being done, is he obligated to interfere?
Yeah. Like to come to court, not to... He's obligated to come to court to testify.
No. I'm saying when violence is witnessing a violence, is he obliged to interfere and avoid that, or...
If he has the ability to stop the violence, he has to stop it.
And if he doesn't?
Then he does.
No punishment for not?
No. Only if he could. If he could stop it, he doesn't.
I'm saying he can, but he doesn't.
If
he's accountable, he's punishable.
Let me tell you, illegal law. Yeah? If you're walking in the street and you see somebody drowning, and I could save them. I could. And I don't. I choose not to. And I keep walking. Yeah? Unless if I'm a doctor, legally they cannot punish me for not doing anything.
Well, the law of the land today.
Yeah. So but Torah law. If I'm able to stop him, I have a biblical obligation to save him.
And if you don't, there is a punishment for that?
It's a negative commandment. You don't get punished because it's not an active act, it's a passive act. You can't get punished for passive acts. You can only get punished for active acts. Right.
So what do you get if you don't get punished? What do you get?
A sin. What do you get? What happens if you don't put on tefillin? You get a sin. What do you mean?
So this, punishment.
No.
This that we shouldn't lend money without writing on the paper is midrabbanan. If you want to lend money to somebody, you have to write.
It's a good advice to write it on a paper.
It's not midrabbanan.
Midrabbanan is not going to be good, but the Chum said it's good. But according to the other Rishonim, it's good anyway. If you could speak, it's good written. The problem with the Rambam over here in our Gemara, yeah, because Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan, that's how they get into this whole discussion. According to Rav Huna and Rabbi Yechanan, it's only if your notes remind you. What happens if it doesn't remind you at all, Rashi says? You can't send the testimony written to court because it's no good. But according to the Rambam, it should be good. Because rabbinically it is good. And there's all monetary cases over here.
Said if you could save someone and then he afterwards is going to claim against you that you made it worse.
That's what they do today. You try to save somebody and they sue you afterwards.
So what do you do?
That's why people don't do it anymore. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Iboy Luhu. Yeah? Three lines from the end of the page. 28.3. Yes. In the Gemara, it's three lines from the end of the page. Iboiluhu. So now he said like this. The notes could remind you it's good, not whatever. Now, ask me, the litigant himself reminds you. Comes to the witness and he says, don't you remember you were there when I lent him the money? Yeah? So, Rav Chaviva Omar, Rav Chaviva says, afilo atzmi. Even the guy himself, the litigant, is good enough. Because all he's doing is prodding the witness, and eventually the witness remembers on his own. But, Mar the son of Rav Ashmi says, atzmi, himself not. Why? Because he might prod you in a tainted way, because he'll want you to remember what he wants, not what the real story is. But the Gemara says, Hilchasa, Atzmelei. The litigant cannot remind you.
Can we say it because he's biased?
What?
Can we say he's biased?
We're afraid it's going to be tainted, that's all. It's going to be tainted. One witness reminding another witness is not going to say a lie. But if I owe you the money, you're going to tell the witness, don't you remember you lent me $1,000? Maybe it was only $750 or $500. The witness doesn't remember. He says, yeah, I remember, you know, vaguely. But in Shechonah, by the way, it says an interesting din. If you see your name signed on a document, yeah, the Rambam says this din also. You see your name on a document, and you don't remember anything about it. You're not allowed to testify, like we're learning here in the Gemara. You can't go to Beis Din to testify that, yeah, this is what happened.
Your signature.
Yeah. Because the din is, the Rambam uses the expression, you're not testifying on your signature, you're testifying on what the document says.
So what is signature for?
Just to remind you, a lot of times you see, oh yeah, now I remember.
But you can see the logic, the signature.
Let me ask you a question. You come to a chuppah, they ask you to be a witness, and the ksuba. Yeah? And the ksuba. 15 years later, you remember you went to that wedding? Remember all the weddings you went to?
Yeah, I don't go to that many.
If you go to one wedding a year, you will remember.
It depends how much you have to drink.
Okay.
No, you understand? You can remember 15 years ago you went to a wedding?
Not exactly.
Not exactly. No. Okay, now somebody's going to show you a ksuba.
Yeah.
With your signature on it.
Okay.
Then you say, you remember it?
Yeah. How many ksubas do you slack?
Yeah, if you do, if you're a rabbi and you go to all kind of weddings where you don't know anybody.
Okay, so anybody can be...
You remember
all the details of the wedding?
How many ksubas you sign?
Can I ask you, you know how many times people that get married, and then you ask them later, a few years, you know, when they're divorced, or who were the witnesses at your wedding?
They don't remember.
They remember. Their own wedding they don't remember.
Yes, true.
They said, let's look at the video. Yeah, if they have. You know how many times we have to check... things, videos. I did it myself a bunch of times. To know, You couldn't figure out who the witnesses are. And the Chof and the Kaz themselves, their wedding. I'll tell you the truth. I don't remember the witnesses of my wedding, who they were. I don't remember. I mean, why should it, like... So, no, you're going to go to a wedding. Somebody's going to show you a ksuba.
You're my witness, you remember?
You have a video of yours?
No.
No?
There are no videos in those days.
No.
That video, yeah. Okay, what is the difference? But the bottom line, you don't remember all the signatures?
No.
Okay.
So
what happens if there's a witness Bezdin always uses? You know, like by Gittin, the Bezdin, he always uses the same witnesses because they know how to sign the names properly in there. Many times in Gittin, okay, in the Bezdins that do Gittin, always have the same two guys coming as witnesses because it's pretty easy. They know how to write it. They know what to do. You know, it's just easier. The guy wrote, was a witness on 100 gets. You think he remembers all the 100 gets?
No. But I have a problem with this.
You get a witness on the gets.
Huh?
The witnesses get paid to be a witness on the gets.
They got paid. Oh, you have to pay them. What?
You know,
One second. What?
No, but I have a problem. This, looking at it like this signature is means nothing. You're taking this, you're making this ketubah or this shutar shvach. Like, it doesn't have any value. The signature did the job like 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It has value, it's valid, legit. Now we take it, now it doesn't mean anything.
No, no. Normally, the best wouldn't bother validating the document. But now somebody came and says it's not kosher. Forged.
Dispute.
They dispute the document. If there's a loan document, everybody agrees, what's the problem? Okay. Or you bring me a loan that means said, yeah, but I paid you. Remember we learned this, that shows basically you admitting the document, okay? But here, obviously the case would be, or Bechlal, the case would be, it's disputed. Okay?
So maybe like exact signature they forged.
Yeah, so now, today, on the computer, people have their signatures. You could sign checks. Yeah. You could, today, it's a disaster technically what you could do.
It could be exact, but yeah, that's why he has to remember the case.
Yeah, because Gemara says the Eidim that are testifying in the Shtar, Leyoksav Yodim in Me'idim, Allah ala Shtar, they're testifying of what's going on in the document. They're not to say, yeah, this is my signature. And if it's your signature, so what? You're testifying, your signature makes the, authenticizes the story of the document. So if the signature reminds, oh yeah, you know, a guy would say, were you at this in this wedding? He said, oh, I remember. And then they show you a ksuba with your signature, yeah? So, oh yeah, no, now I remember that I was there. So then it would be good, Gemara says.
Rabbi, even if the document is disputed, let's say it's the signed and notarized. Whatever the content is...
Notarized today means it's validated in Beis Din. That's what it means.
So then that cannot be...
Disputed. Notarized documents have a much stronger power in Beis Din today.
So back then there was no such thing. There was a signature and that's it.
But they didn't have notaries then.
Right. Or they wouldn't go and have it validated at Beis Din.
They would. In other words, what a guy would like to... What they used to do in the old times, by the way... Like, we learned before in the Gemara, Rav Nachman said that you gotta go validate the document, then we'll talk. Remember he said?
Right.
Amalei Rav Nachman, we would have told him to validate the document, then we'll talk. Yeah? So what they would do a lot of times in the time of Beis Din, after they signed the document, the Beis Din would validate the document right away. With a stamp. Hempik is called. And then you can never invalidate the document. The Rebbe spoke a lot about this with Alter Rebbe. Rebbe Rashabson. Rebbe said many times. Like, before Alter Rebbe got arrested, right, so Chassidus was what it was. Then it was questioned. Right, the Gzeir against the Alter Rebbe. Then when in heaven validated it by letting the Alter Rebbe go out, right? So the Rebbe compared that to a document that before anybody complained about it, the document's kosher, but it's refutable. But once it was refuted and validated, you can never refute it again. Mm-hmm. Now the Rebbe said, Chassidus was, so to speak, there, but it wasn't validated. So then when it was reputed and validated, so then there's no question about it anymore. So people would do that a lot of times in Bezin. They would right away validate the document that later on nobody should be able to say anything.
Making authentication of a signature, how did they do that?
Either the guy himself came and testified it's his signature.
No, no, but I'm saying that they would authenticate it right there and then.
Stamp?
How the physically, what the process was? Physically.
The process was, Bezin brought a proof and that this is stuck at this guy with the signature. Mm-hmm. Like they have today, they ask for ID.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I could bring him as a witness, and he could sign his name when he's really signing not his name. Mm-hmm. He could be signing it for a false name. Right? I'll give you an example. Let's say you need bar mitzvah, right? So let's say I bring a 12 and a half year old kid. It's not bar mitzvah. And he'll sign a friend of his name that's bar mitzvah. Now, how do I know it's him, not his friend?
So they would do what notary does today.
Yeah. They would either, Bezdin have documents that they already know this guy's signature, or Bezdin would have two witnesses come to testify this is his signature, or Bezdin would make sure that this is the guy whose signature it was.
And then how would they?
There was a stamp, but whatever type of stamp it was.
Was it the one with the wax that was
whatever, I don't know exactly how it physically was.
Do we have similar to this, they go to the higher court and go each thing to Jewish, we also have the same thing?
Appellate? No, you can't appeal.
You can't appeal. No. If it's like done.
That's it.
You don't have such a thing. No.
Okay, next. Now, so the Gemara said, we're in the middle of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, one second. So the Gemara says the litigant cannot remind him, right? But what happens? But what happens is the witness is a scholar. Then even if the litigant reminds him, then it is valid. Because the Talmud Chacham is not going to lie. A regular witness will say, yeah, maybe, yeah. You know, I remember maybe it was 1,000, maybe 500. He says 1,000, probably 1,000. Talmud Chacham will know, unless he means 100% sure he's not going to testify. So then even if the litigant prods the Talmud Chacham on, then it is good.
Is that nowadays?
Yeah. But there's no Talmud Chacham today. And Gemara says like this.
Except you.
Yeah, that's right. Where do we find such a case? Gemara case, taka case that happened. Listen to this. Rav Ashi knew some type of testimony about Rav Kahana. Amalei, so Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, do you remember the testimony you testified for me? Amalei, Rav Ashi said, Loi, no, I don't remember it. He says, so Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, V'lav hochi v'hochi ave. Wasn't this in this case that happened? He said, Loi yadayna. I don't remember. So based on what we learned in the Gemara, the litigant, Rav Kahana, is prodding the witness. And Rav Ashi is saying, ultimately, I don't remember. What happened? L'seif idke Rav Ashi. At the end, Rav Ashi did remember the story. And then, after the late, he testified it on Rav Kahana's behalf. So what happened? Chazal Rav Kahana, he saw that Rav Kahana was shocked that Rav Ashi testified. Because Rav Kahana himself, these are all tzaddikim, right? Rav Kahana had Rav Ashi testify for him. He kept telling Rav Ashi, don't you remember? No. Don't you remember? No. Finally, Rav Ashi remembered, and he went and testified. So Rav Kahana is thinking to himself, how did Rav Ashi testify? If I was the one that prodded him, and we had said before in the Gemara, the halacha is that if the litigant himself does it, it's not good. Right? So he says, Amalei, so Rav Ashi said to him, Misavris, Allah kosamichna. You think I relied on you? Rav Ashi says, no. I know dramoya nafshi vidke. I concentrated, and I remembered the case. So I remembered what happened. So therefore, it wasn't from you. What do you see from here, though? that a Talmud Chacham, and it's interesting, he brings down at the bottom a whole thing over here. L'cheira, if Rav Ashi said, I don't know, that's a testimony. How could he change his mind? Remember we learned before, once a witness testifies, he's not allowed to change his mind. L'cheira, Rav Ashi over here changed his mind. He said, I don't remember. And then he said, I remember. Why isn't he changing his mind as a witness? So he brings down over here that the Mefarshim explain, not remembering to remembering is not called change your testimony. Mm-hmm. Yeah, say A and then say B, say yes, and they say no, that's called changing testimony. If I say, Reuben killed him, they say, no, Shimon killed him. Yeah. That's no good. But the Gemara is saying over here, basically, from not remembering to remembering is not called changing your mind. Yeah. Changing my mind means when I say something and I change it. Not remembering is not saying anything.
Recollection comes.
Yeah, but no, it's not that I'm saying it now changing my mind. I never said anything. I don't remember. It's not a testimony.
Now I came to remember.
Now I remember. See, it's not changing his mind.
How did you remember? It was prompted, suggested, maybe this, maybe that.
He took some ginseng.
No, later on he comes to
the gives him some hint, and then
question in a way that
Rav Ashi says. Dramoy anafshoy means I concentrated, I thought about it, and I remembered.
Also, he was reminded of certain events.
Whatever, but the Rav Ashi basically went from I don't know. I'll give you an example where would this be a very interesting, crazy case. If a guy says to a woman, such a case is always used in a lot of cases, when they ask what's the difference in halacha, a guy comes over to a woman and says, Harei amukadeshesli, on the condition I never change my mind.
Wow.
He says, I do kedushin on the condition that I've never changed my mind.
In anything?
Right. I'm giving you a crazy case. So, if he says, I never changed my mind, if Taka never changed his mind, the kedushin is valid. If he changed his mind, the kedushin is not valid, right? Because the condition is not met. But what happens if this guy went from I don't remember to remember? Is that called changing the mind or not? So Agmar says it's not. So Kedusha would be valid. It's a crazy case, but this is. Okay, this starts in the Gemara. Leave it here.